You are listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF-FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey, kids.
I'm Batman.
Look, up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's dance-off, bro. Me and you.
Hello, and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm your host, Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gill.
Hi, I'm Sam Tweedle. I could talk about Archie forever.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
They know that I would have put it under my shirt and ran off.
What are you talking about? I haven't seen any Action Comics number 1.
Gwenpool, I mean Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff, this is going to be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
Yes, Dan, the Killing Joke does need to be R-rated.
I kind of like punching the walls of reality as a way to bring a character back because nobody knows what we're talking about right now.
Dark Knight Strikes Back was one of the biggest piles of dung ever, and it was what, $10 an issue?
We need to shame Sam. He is not here because he's gone to the Gem and the Holograms movie.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another Friday night of the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show. I am Martin Bruda.
Chris Ellis.
Chris Gilpin.
Lads, how are we today?
Oh, pretty good.
Good.
Are we having fun or what?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, loads.
So, loads, Friday, comic books. I took a little trip to Oshawa.
Nice.
Just visited the various stores and stuff like that. And I ended up picking up a whole whack of comics that... number ones that didn't come into our local shop here in Peterborough.
Okay.
So I grabbed, Jimmy Olsen, number one. Lois Lane, number one. Valkyrie, number one. House of X, number one. The Giant Size X-Men reprint, facsimile edition.
I wanted to get that.
Picked up an old Conan, number three from the 70s for my collection. And ask me how many of them I read.
How many did you read?
One. House of X.
I was just so busy and swamped at work and stuff. I just didn't have a chance to do any kind of reading whatsoever.
Yeah.
None whatsoever.
I can sympathize. What night was it? Tuesday night. I decided that the comics were starting to pile up kind of here and there and everywhere. So it was like, okay, it's time to start organizing. What a disaster.
It always gets worse before it gets better.
Oh, man. I've got, like, comic boxes everywhere, all down the hall, like, in my son's room. He's away at camp. He's doing his own thing. So I've got, like, all my art that I haven't got framed on his bed and comics everywhere. My wife is a patient woman.
That is a pain that we all share. Because the second you start ripping things apart and trying to figure things out, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, I get distracted. I'm going to read this, and oh, I want to rebag and board that.
And, yeah. And it's like, oh, this one's, I got this one signed on the cover, and I don't have a scan of that for the comics app. So it's like, okay, well, unbag it, scan it, back in the bag, attach the cover.
Exactly.
And, you know, it's all, I don't know. If it's signed on the cover, it's got to be signed on the thing so you can see it, right?
That's right.
Exactly. Yeah, hey, speaking of, CLZ, our favorite app. Anybody says CLZ, I'm going to like... Canada, CLZ. Anyways, the CLZ app. Yes. They are adding, finally, a feature. They're going to get values of your comics provided by a service called Go Collect, which I've used once or twice before on the website. So all of a sudden, you're going to have values in your CLZ, yeah. Which is kind of cool.
I was playing with it a little bit tonight, and I couldn't get it to work.
No.
So the latest update, 19.3.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a regular subscriber. So
me too.
I updated it. Bang. It was there. Cool. Everything looks all different. It's like, this is kind of cool. So I was playing with it. And, I can't figure out how to actually pop that value in there. Like, you can go in and select, like... the condition of the comic, it's like everything from a 0.1 right up to 10.
Yeah.
And so you can pick your own, but it doesn't actually, I just assumed that when you pick that, it would like, bang, this is, hey, cool, you know, there's your, what the going value is, but it did not.
Well, so, that's kind of weird.
So now you have to tinker with it and try to figure out how that actually works.
Maybe with an update or something like that, that'll start working.
It should be ready to go. I'm probably just not doing one little thing to make it work, but
now the only books I've got in my collection and in my list that have a condition, because that's what they did, was they took the condition field and they're changing it to grades.
Yeah,
Was anything I got CGC or CBCA or PGX or...
Yeah. Actually, there's a cool little feel for that now.
Yeah.
So you can select it, and then you can put in all your serial numbers. And all
nice. Nice. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's quite a few people that were complaining and looking for that feature. What I think is hilarious is every time you're on a Facebook group, and everyone's like, what application should I use to catalog my comics? It's like one guy goes, you need Excel. You got to use Excel. Then there's another guy, yeah, use a pencil. You need a pencil and a piece of paper. And then there's like 97 guys all going, CLZ, CLZ, CLZ.
Yeah.
One more on CLZ.
Well, I started using CLZ.
Yes.
Back before it was actually like full CL,
yeah,
before
yeah.
It is what it is. Like,
didn't it come on CDs?
Yeah, it came on a CD-ROM.
I had it once.
I ordered it off eBay, and like, it was pretty budget. Let me tell you, it was very, very basic. No pictures, no nothing. But it was a database, so you could kind of just, you know, input and then do searches, and you could print off a want list, and mm-hmm. that was kind of like. Before that, I was just using Word, like straight up just, you know, typing it in, Action Comics, mm-hmm. and then all the whatever. And yeah, so that was a real pain, you know. Yeah. And then you've got like this giant piece of paper in your back pocket. It was like four pages long. I still see people at Comic Cons.
Oh, yeah.
Whipping out the, like, you know, Duotang,
yeah.
flipping through. Oh, I need that one.
Well, that fellow that used to go shopping at your booth at Lakefield mm-hmm. Flea Market, he always came around with a piece of paper that all had his want list on it.
Yeah.
Was he still around? Or?
I haven't seen him in a while.
Ooh, that bodes poorly. Mm-hmm. He was an elderly gentleman.
He was.
The last time I talked to him, he was saying that he was slowing down a little bit because he was a little... he had some health issues and stuff. So now all of a sudden he's not showing up anymore. It's like, oh.
Yeah.
That's not good.
No.
He's a nice guy, though.
Yeah. I can only imagine what he had in his collection, though.
Yeah.
Like, he'd been doing it for decades, so.
Eesh.
Yeah. But I do like the app. When I go to Comic-Con now, and I'm pulling them out onto the table before I actually, you know, you're going through the dollar bins or whatever, you're whipping them all out. I need that one, I need that one. Is I can go through the app and just go switch it over right then and there. So now it goes from the want list to the have list.
Yeah.
And I'm not buying the same friggin' book at the show. Like, one year I came home, I had three of the same Spawn books.
Well, that happens to me.
It's like, oh, and it's not even a good one.
That happens to me almost every time I go to Guardian Comics and dig through the warehouse with the buckets.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, oh, I got all these comics. And then I get home, and in the pile is like four or five copies of the same book.
Yeah.
I'm like, what did I do? What did I do?
I really needed four copies of...
It's because he doesn't have stuff alphabetical and numerical, so you got to dig, and all of a sudden you find a big stash of Conans. It's like, I need this one, I need this one. And then you're like 14 boxes later, another stash of Conans. Oh, I need this one, I need this one, I need this one.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It works if you're diligent. If you slough it off, you're going to get home and be like, oh.
Yeah, but I definitely have less doubles and duplicates since I started using the app more diligently, for sure.
Yeah.
We need to take a trip down to Guardian sometime. We haven't been there in a while.
I've never been there.
No?
No.
Is he still open? He's not open on Saturdays, is he?
Apparently, I saw something about a sale tomorrow.
Tomorrow? Oh,
I think.
I'll be nose buried into an email migration tomorrow. It did not go well today.
Which is weird because, well, they've really expanded.
Oh, did they?
Like, they're more like a store now.
Oh, really?
In I don't know.
So they kind of gave him a little bit of a retail space in there?
It seems like it, yeah.
Yeah, we should go sometime soon.
I followed them on Facebook for a while, and then I just was like, man, everything they want to sell is in U.S. dollars.
Well, you know,
Like all the, it's like...
Yeah, all the big ticket books are all priced in U.S.
Yeah.
Because he sometimes does conventions across the border.
Oh, sure, but, you know, we don't live in the U.S., that drives me nuts when you go to the Comic-Con, too, and you see a book, it's like $50. You're like, hey, man, you know.
Yeah, I'll take that.
Yeah, I'll take that. And he's like, okay, that'll be like
$77.98.
Yeah, Canadian. And it's like, no, it says $50.
Yeah, this is Canada. It says $50.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but that's how it works. Okay, no. All right, see you later. Bye.
Yeah. And then, yeah. And
somebody will buy it.
Yeah, good luck.
Move on. Like, yeah, that guy's frustrating. He's usually right on the back wall. Same booth all the time. It's like, yeah, I don't even shop there anymore.
Yeah, exactly. I'll see you later. Goodbye.
Yeah.
So how many of you did read House of X?
I didn't even buy it.
I did.
Did you read it?
I read it.
Did you dig it?
That doesn't sound good.
To me, it's like, because I read Uncanny.
Yeah.
And where Uncanny ended, this one is on Mars. It's yeah. like, it's totally different. It's no connection to what we just finished reading.
So did one of the other titles kind of, was it, did we miss like an Extinction Agenda type?
Well, there was the X-Man series.
I bet you that's what tied it all in.
Well, it's, but that finished up with Uncanny, because right at the end when they were about to get their butts kicked, all the X-Men came back, like Endgame.
Yeah.
We're here to save you. And it was just
magic.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you start House of X, which I guess is House of Xavier. Yeah. And Powers of X is Powers of 10.
Powers of 10?
Yes. That's what I've read.
Oh. Okay.
And when you read Powers of X number 1, you kind of get that, because they go 10 years in the future, 100 years in the future. So they're going up by multiples of 10. I don't know. It's just really...
What got me was this reading order.
Yeah.
Like, you're supposed to read House of X number 1, then Powers of X number 1, then House 2, Powers 2, Powers 3, House 3, House 4, Powers 4, House 5, Powers 5, House 6, Powers 6.
Yeah.
Like, it's a convoluted reading order. And I'm just like, why didn't you just make it one series?
Yeah.
Why wasn't it just one series? It just makes no sense that it's kind of convoluted and bouncy up and down and stuff like that.
When you read Powers of X, there's a small part in it that is a direct continuation of House of X.
Yeah.
With, anyways, doesn't matter. It's a direct right after.
Yeah.
But then the rest of the book, like I said, it's jumping through time and showing you the future of us, the Earth and mutants and humans and things like that.
Now, we've kind of lived through a few X-Men reboots here, because you and I have a soft spot for X-Men.
Yeah.
Are you an X-Men reader?
I like Wolverine. Yeah. That's pretty much cool. Where I end with the X-Men.
Yeah, that's cool. Like, my favorite era...
Like the Wii.
My favorite era of the X-Men was Chris Claremont, and first it was Mark Silvestri, and then it was... what was Leonardi's first name?
Rick.
Rick Leonardi. So it was like... they were in Australia, they had the Brood, Gateway was doing his little twirly thing, and that was the introduction of Bishop, that was the introduction of...
that'd be the timeline that I read. Like, really, I collected Gambit, X-Men, like, from...
Jubilee.
Yeah, like, 300,
yeah.
Kind of an up. Now, I've worked backwards to, like, 130s,
you
know. But
and then, of course, the 2000s hit, and everything just kind of went silly and stupid. And that's kind of when I dropped it.
Yeah.
When things got really... I think Age of Extinction was the last one. No. Age of Apocalypse?
I liked Age of Apocalypse.
I loved Age of Apocalypse. Yeah. It was good.
It was kind of silly, but it was kind of fun, too.
Yeah,
it was
Well, I like Mojo just as a character and the Mojo world and stuff. So it was pretty good. But anyways... Chris kind of stuck with Uncanny X-Men.
Yeah.
I didn't. Which I liked. I lasted like three issues of... I tried X-Men Blue and X-Men Gold, and I lasted six issues of each. Then the new reboot, and I stopped that. But this has actually kind of got me a little bit excited. Like, this is actually pretty good. It's a weird, wacky premise, and I'm not sure I like the fact that that Xavier is, you know, this weird cerebral-wearing, all-the-time little skinny guy. But it's a great concept.
Yeah, and the beginning scene where he's come to me.
Is that him as a giant floating head?
Come to me, my X-Men.
No, that's
a
and
Sentinel.
The X-Men are coming out of these seed pods.
Now, before we get into anything, spoilers. If you haven't read this, you don't want anything spoiled, you got 4 seconds to turn off the radio. Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, opening sequence. All these people come out of these pods. And you're looking at the people in the pods, and one guy's eyes is glowing red. The other one looks like, you know, somebody that you know. And there's Xavier going, come to me, my X-Men.
Yeah.
Right away, my theory that I've kind of heard on the interwebs as well, the characters in this book are not the X-Men. The characters in this book are clones, seed spawns.
Created by
Krakatoa, the living island. What's his name? Is it Krakatoa?
Clone.
What?
It's Yeah, it's some. It's
Krakoa.
It's Krakoa.
Krakatoa, isn't that like a volcano in Hawaii?
Exactly. Yeah. Hey, for the longest time, Luke Skywalker ran around in Bespian fatigues. Okay, English is my second language. Shut up. So I always pronounce it Krakatoa. I don't know. It's probably way, way wrong. But anyways, but I think that's what the story is that this is like DNA absorbed. These are not really the X-Men. Yeah. Where are the X-Men? Are they asleep somewhere? Are they off in space or something like that? I don't know. But I'm kind of interested. So, as a result, the previews came out this week. And I think this is October's comics. So, X-Men number one is coming out. Jonathan Hickman and... Oh, I'm going to butcher this. Lian Lee? Francis Yu? Very famous artist that I cannot pronounce. But he's got great art. Excalibur number one. Tinny Howard is writing it. Marcus Toe is going to do some art.
Interesting to see Excalibur back.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
Marauders
it's not
number one.
No.
And
no Lockheed the Dragon, I'm assuming.
And that's it. Yeah. Now there's some more coming later, right?
Captain Britain.
In November. Yeah, that's the thing.
Like, who else was on Excalibur?
Oh, I loved Excalibur. It was Nightcrawler, Captain Britain, Psylocke, Kitty Pride.
That's a rogue.
It's great.
Is that Apocalypse in the back?
Yeah. Apocalypse is on the theme.
Or isn't that Apocalypse's son?
I don't know.
I think there was like
Apocalypse Jr.
Yeah, so I forget what his name is.
Now, who's the one with the sword? Is that Ileana or whatever?
Oh,
for Excalibur?
Yeah.
No, it just says a new Captain Britain.
Oh, a new Captain Britain.
Ileana's in the New Mutants.
So this has got me a little bit confused because, like, X-Men, this is, like, everybody who's related to Cyclops and Wolverine. It's got Cyclops' dad, Cyclops' brother, Cyclops' son, Cyclops' daughter. Who's that guy?
I have no idea.
And Jean Grey. And I don't know why Jean Grey's gone back to the old...
Who's what guy? Behind Cyclops?
No, behind the young version of Cable X-Man.
Oh,
the red and the blue.
I assumed that was
Mr. I'm up on X-Men.
Oh.
Did you ever see the meme where it's like a text conversation between Deadpool and Cable?
No.
And so Deadpool's like asking Cable like how come he's so cool and his dad is so lame. And he's like, in my family, coolness skips a generation. And he's like, oh yeah, well, what was your grandfather? And he's like, he was a space pirate.
That's awesome. So I'm just not sure which one I'm going to order. Whether it's, I'm like Marauders looks really good.
Like, as a Wolverine guy, I'm like tempted to like, maybe pick up some of the stuff that he's in.
Yeah.
But honestly, I'm just waiting for his solo series. It's coming.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
I mean, he's on every cover now, so...
It's not in this previews. It's probably in the next one, but X-Force looked pretty good as far as its lineup and stuff like this. That seemed to be the most X-Men-ish from our generation type thing.
Yeah.
Was the X-Force book. So I might get X-Men and X-Force, but I don't know. Marauders looks like it might be okay.
I almost was very, very tempted to get the X-Liefeld.
Yo, I want that so bad. Like, my buddy Harry posted it on the group, and I'm like, oh, I must have this. And he just kind of gave me like this winky smiles up, fingers up. So there might be a copy in my care package from him next time. Maybe.
Oh, nice.
So the guy in the back is Vulcan.
Vulcan?
Well, that's
He came from...
He's like a sus. He's... What is Vulcan? He's...
It's rubber.
It's not like... Yeah, that's vulcanization. I seem to think Vulcan is related to Scott Summers.
Yeah, they're all part of the Summers family.
Yeah.
So how do
he's like a third brother or something.
Yeah.
So you got to put Wolverine. It's just jam him in there.
Well, I think there's a tenuous link between Wolverine and Jean Grey and Cyclops, the little love triangle there. Yeah. But yeah, like this is literally X-Men is literally
the Summers.
The Summers. I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
Was Rachel in there?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So it's either gonna honk Bobo, like the last couple of reboots, or it's gonna be pretty good. I don't know. We'll see.
Reboots are killing me, man. Like,
more and more, I'm getting the whole Age of X-Men vibe from it.
Yeah.
Just because it's not what we think it is, and
Well, we'll see what happens at the end of House of X and Powers of X. That kind of sets the status quo, right? And I just can't see, from what I'm seeing in these solicitations, this does not look like a continuation of House of X.
Yeah.
So I think what's happening in House of X is going to be so, sort of self-contained and then the reboots.
Krakoa is how I pronounce
Krakoa.
K-R-A-K-O-A.
There you go, Krakoa.
I'm sure. But everything in the book revolves around that.
Yeah, I'm sure Krakatoa is like an actual volcano that has died in history.
You know what I don't like is that you can't just go into the comic shop now and pick up an X-Men book and just read it.
Yeah.
Like, everything is so convoluted. Like, they've got two series just setting up for the ongoing series. Like, it's all... like, ooh, look what we got going on like here. Like, the, just start the friggin' book and let people read it.
Like, the number two reason why I never used to read Superman is because of those stupid triangles they used to have where you had to read Action Comics, then you had to read Adventure of Superman, then you had to read Superman, then you had to read Man of Steel in order to get the whole story.
Yeah, four friggin' books in order to get one story.
Give me a break.
No, it was ridiculous. And this is kind of the same, you know, thing, right? You can't just go into the comic shop and be like, oh, you know what? That's a cool cover. I'm going to buy that book.
Yeah.
And be like, hey, you know what? That wasn't bad. But now it's like, you buy it. If you bought issue two of that series and just sat down and read it, you'd be like, what in the world am I missing? I don't know what's going on here. I don't understand anything. And really, usually, most comics, unless it's in the middle of like kind of an arc, are self-contained books. Now, they'll have hints to what's going on previous and hints to what's going next, but a lot of it is self-contained. Like, it's one shot story, you know, there you go, and then there's enough in it to make you want to buy the next issue or angle back and buy the previous one. But with this, it's like you have to, or you just you're lost.
And especially because, like, it was some in House of X, but Power of X will take a page and it's just like explaining. It's just words explaining what's going on and what's what and who's who and
why. Yeah, there's a lot of text in House of X, like descriptive pages and stuff like this.
Yeah, so if you're missing all that, then...
But I think that's happening more and more. Like, everybody seems to be writing what they call writing for the trade.
Yeah.
I'm going to make a six-issue arc that fits nicely into a single trade paperback so that rather than, like you said, rather than pick up the individual issue and getting a story...
Yeah.
And issues now are 20 pages, whereas they used to be, you know, 48 32. Pages, 32, 36. Mm. Like, it all varied, right? One single story, now you're getting 20 pages, so it's hard to get enough information out. People are now picking up the trade.
Yeah.
And it has the self-contained story. So whether that's better or worse, I don't know. I mean, sales are in the tank compared to what they were early, you know, late 80s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the popularity, obviously, it's a bit of an issue.
Yeah.
But we'll see how it goes.
I was reading an interesting article kind of on the same thing, and it was why, I can't remember his name, he works for DC, why he hates doing the facsimile issues.
Yeah, Dan DiDio.
Yeah, and why he hates them. And I was like, okay, well, this sounds like a very interesting article to read, because why does the guy who's putting them out hate them?
Yeah.
So I read it. And the problem... is they're outselling their regular monthly issues. So when they put out, like, you know, Batman, the first appearance of, like, anybody, that outsells the ongoing Batman title for the month. And he's like, we're doing something wrong. If an issue that's 30 or 40 or 60 years old has more interest in it than what we're pumping out now, something's wrong.
My only problem with his concept is he's picking on one single key book out of 75 years.
Yeah.
If they just published a random Batman comic book from the 70s, I don't think anybody would buy it.
Probably not.
Like, Superman number 200 is, it's a 1967 sort of homage to Canada Centennial. Mm-hmm. So there is this make-believe story of a second... ship from Krypton landing in Montreal, and Hyperman is born. So they tell the story of Hyperman in Montreal.
Yeah.
If somebody made a facsimile edition of that, nobody would give a crud. No. Nobody would buy that. That wouldn't outsell.
Maybe if they super hyped it.
You know, exactly. So I think I get his point. He's saying, you know, let's make stories that people are excited about now.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think it's just the nostalgia factor of having that key comic that's very expensive.
Yep. And I agree. Because you're going to want to, like, I have the Hulk 181.
Yep. Me too.
The facsimile edition. And why? Because I don't want to pull mine out of the Mylar bag.
Yeah, exactly.
In case I get a tape pull or, you know, a fingerprint or tear it or whatever. So I've, you know, I have one that cost me $5. And if it tears.
Yeah. Like I have Hulk 180 and I have Hulk 183. 182. So I don't have a Hulk 181. So I bought the facsimile edition for $5.
And it looks, if you lay them down.
And I slid it in there as a temporary holder until I either, you know, bump off Chris here and break into his house or
win the lottery
or, you know, somehow, you know, deem it worthy to buy it. What's it go for now? $4,000?
Yeah. And it's still climbing. Yeah. It's like ridiculous. A 9.8 is like over $20,000.
That's bananas. That's bonkers.
Yeah.
But I mean, it is a legit first appearance. Oh. Well, okay. Well, let's roll that back a bit. It is a legit key issue.
Yes.
Of a very major character that's very popular and very, you know, intrinsic to the Marvel universe.
Yeah. So I just don't think it's as rare as that. I mean, you see guys and they'll have like a long box and they'll have like 20 of these issues in it.
Yeah.
Like it's not rare.
Well, as far as print run goes, it's way, way, way higher than anything that's being published now.
Yeah, so it's just...
But that's back in the day when we were rolling comics up and putting them in our back pockets on the way home from the grocery, from the convenience store. Yeah. So finding a 9.8 is actually going to be a little bit harder.
Well, and that is not the issue that I have. It's like, you know, guys wanting $2,000, $3,000 for a 4.0.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that looks great for me. I paid $45 for mine. Yeah,
there you go.
But
is your wife listening to this?
The sticker still
it's
on
worth,
it.
It's worth $25. It dropped in price.
Yeah. She keeps telling me I'm going to have to sell it so my kid can go to medical school.
There you go.
He wants to go in the Army and blow stuff up. So that's...
Please, Lord, don't let my wife sell my collection for what I told her I paid for it.
Right. I showed my wife that meme. She didn't smile.
No, not at all. So, yeah, I mean, I get his point, but I think it's just because it's a nostalgic factor for a key comic.
I would agree on that extent, but I think he's also kind of figuring it out, too, that the new stories maybe aren't selling. Like, I mean...
They're not.
Just have... I don't understand why, like, Batman, every, say... 20 issues, they got to try and kill him. Like,
yeah.
Batman's going to die again. Oh, well, guess what that does? That takes all of the excitement out of it because he dies for like 2 issues or he doesn't die at all or whatever. Like Dan's Daredevil book there where Daredevil died and, you know, that kind of stuff, if it happens repeatedly, like people aren't interested in that.
No. And they need better writing. That's all it is.
Yeah, and now they're just throwing like random new characters and everything, right, trying to get, you know, the
speculators
to buy these books, and it's working. Like,
yeah.
What the Marvel Comics Presents, not the one that came out this month, but the one that came out the month before,
yeah,
has Wolverine's daughter or something in it.
Yeah.
Good luck finding one.
Yeah,
I have one.
Well, that Captain, what was it, Captain Marvel 8 that just came out?
Yeah.
With the, whatever, the new Justice Trust, whatever her name is, Unification, whatever the character's name is, I can't remember. I didn't read it, so.
Well, there was a new Image book out list this week, too, that everyone seemed to be going crazy for.
Which one's that?
I'm trying to think of it now, because one guy had, like, he's on the forum going, okay, I'm going to sell these, I got 20 copies of this book. That came out this week. I'm going to sell it for $6.
There's one that's out, and it's about a girl. And is it Dark Horse or something? And it's like this new, and all of a sudden it's, you know, people are hot all over this book, and it doesn't take much to spark an interest.
No.
Like, and
no, people get a little too excited by the hype, for sure.
Oh, yeah. And then try and fill, like, by a Venom series, I was collecting the new one and before it started to suck. And I missed issue 2. and something happens in issue two, or they introduce somebody new, and it's a friggin' $12 book now.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like...
Well, it's like Immortal Hulk number two.
Yeah.
I mean, it's astronomical. I think it's going for like $65 a copy.
Yeah. Like, number two is actually worth more than number one.
Yeah.
In the Venom series. But it's like, I need that one so that I can read what happens after number one. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Or you could just skip it, I guess, but...
What's that, Dan? What's that? Read it digitally? What? What are you yelling from three blocks away, Dan? What?
Yes.
I'm with Chris here. Digital sucks nuts. Digital's icky. Digital's not fun. I've ranted on about digital and how I have difficulty reading digital, and I don't know whether it's the blue light from the LCD or guided view or what, but I just don't retain what I've read if I'm reading it digitally.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just not the same. And you know, when they have like the big 2-page spreads and you're like zooming in and moving stuff around,
yeah, yeah.
And it just doesn't have the same oomph for me, really.
Yeah.
I mean, it's okay. Like, I've got a fairly big tablet, so for the most part, like if it's a single page, you know, it.
Oh, I've got it.
You can read it and everything is fine.
I've got an insane resolution tablet. It's just bonkers, and I can't read it.
Yeah. But when they do like a full page spread, like, you know, out of the middle of the book, and it's.
Shrinks down, and then you got to tilt the screen, and then you got to zoom in. Yeah, it's not as much fun. I don't know. I just don't. It's okay. It's fine. It is what it is.
Hey, you know what? Some people really love it, and I guess the benefit to only reading digital is you don't pay the scalper's price.
No, but you're paying full price for something that you can then not resell as a collector, and if anything happens to the digital library, you lose it.
Yes.
Like, here's a perfect example. Like, I started with digital way back, and I think there was I think one was called iVerse, Comixology. There was another one, and they kind of all competed to see who would be dominant. Mm-hmm. Yeah, all those libraries are done. So the $2.99 or $3.99 or $1.99 I spent on all those books, unrecoverable. Mm-hmm. So you're just paying that for the privilege of reading it.
Yeah.
You know, same thing's going on with video. Ultraviolet's collapsing July 30th. Oh, shoot. It's August the 2nd.
Yeah.
Let me rephrase that. Ultraviolet collapsed 2 days ago. Flixster in the USA is dead. Flixster in Canada said that they're going to move some titles to Google Play at the end of the month, roughly, but not all. And I fire up my little digital apps, and, you know, you've got all these movies, and then down at the bottom it says not available anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, did their licensing expire, and now they can't show that movie anymore? And now, well, what about the $3.99 or the $24.99 I spent for it? Where's my, I don't know. I just like to have physical.
Yeah.
Put it in my hands. I like going to use bookstores. I like going to use video stores. Put it in my hand.
Yeah. I don't like that they could just disappear like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's kind of sketchy.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, yeah, sure, it's convenient and stuff like this. But, you know, I everybody's like, oh, you can't just bring a whole bunch of trade paperbacks on holidays. Every time I went south, I just grabbed my freaking Watchmen and I reread that. And that was good. And if you're spending so much time reading on your vacation instead of staring at bikini bottoms, you're doing it wrong. You're just doing it wrong. Gin and tonics, beach, bums, water, fishing. That's what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah. And hit an ollies and buy all kinds of new trade paper.
Well, that's if you go to the States, yeah. But what else do we got in the amazing news here? Mr. Rob Liefeld. Mr. Rob Liefeld.
Oh, what's he doing?
Poor
now?
Fella. You haven't read this yet?
No.
So apparently, way back in the day, he took on some investors.
Okay.
When he split from Image, or when, like, Image was at one point in time just a loose amalgamation of different studios.
Yeah.
And each artist had. So at some point in time, he brought in some investors. And then that studio collapsed. I think it was Amazing. It wasn't. Anyways, whatever the studio was called. It wasn't Extreme Studios. It was the one either before or after.
Oh, okay. Like the one that published, like, the Captain America lookalike.
Yeah, yeah.
Was by
Fighting American.
Yeah. Awesome. Anyways.
Awesome, yes. Awesome Studios.
Yeah. Yeah.
So at that time, that's when he brought in some investors to help him out. When Awesome kind of collapsed, he held the comic book publishing rights, but all the other rights to the characters were split amongst him and his two to investors.
Okay.
So things like Youngblood and Supreme actually went to this other guy. He didn't keep rights to it. He kept rights to some other stuff. Mm-hmm. And then the third guy got some rights. Well, apparently there's some big to-do, ha-ha, and they've had a little bit of a tiff and a fight. And the one investor's like, oh, well, I'm going to start doing this with this character, specifically Youngblood, and we're going to start doing these movies and cartoons and stuff like this. And if you'd like, you can audition to draw the comic book for me. You know? You can submit a portfolio to see if I'm going to let you draw the movie adaptation of the comic book that you created.
Wow.
And he got mad. He got upset. And I guess things kind of went sour. So he basically just penned a little Twitter thing and just said, you know, I'm just going to have to let go of that part of my creative imagination. And these characters aren't mine anymore. There's a problem. I'm just going to give them up and I'm going to focus on other stuff. So he's going to do other stuff. And that means Youngblood is no more Rob Liefeld involvement in Youngblood in any way, shape, or form.
Cool. It might actually look pretty good then.
Wow. Wow.
Shots fired.
Shots. Ah, Ed to Brute.
I couldn't help myself. I'm not. I mean, I don't mind Liefeld art. He's done some interesting stuff.
I dug him on X-Force,
but back in the day, some of it is really bad.
Yeah.
But you know what? I guess everybody goes through stages.
I mean, the same thing with. I can say the same thing about John Romita Jr.'s new style. Yeah. I'm not a fan of it. You know, some other stuff like. You guys were talking about Mark Textera the other day. He was actually like a Neil Adams disciple. He worked for Neil Adams, and he drew in Neil Adams' style a lot. And then he started doing his own stuff. And it just got really muddy after a while.
Yeah.
Like, some of his earlier stuff is great. Like, his really early stuff just looks like Neil Adams. Mm. His mid-range stuff is really nice. And then as he gets further and further, it just gets really dark and heavy and a little bit more muddy, right, as people's styles change and stuff.
Yeah.
So... I don't know. I mean, it just sucks to see a creator lose his IP.
Yeah. But on the other hand, that's kind of what happens when you go into business with other people.
Yeah, I mean, he got what he got. He signed the contracts that he did.
You
got
to put something on the line, right?
I have the same thing with Alan Moore. You know, dude, you signed a contract.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If your lawyer was shitty, that's not DC's fault.
Yeah.
You signed a contract. DC's living up to the contract. I don't care, whatever, like, sorry, it's just the way it is.
But Image, like, when it first started, it was kind of crazy stuff, like, because all of the guys retained all of their characters. Mm-hmm. So like, I'm a Spawn guy. I've probably said that like a couple of times before, but so in early Spawn, he is killed by a character named Chapel, but Chapel was owned by Liefeld. So when it came time to do the movie, when they did the movie in 1997, they weren't talking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. They had a spat.
Yeah, and Liefeld had left Image, and so they were like, what do we do now? So then they came up with a whole... It was the same origin, just a different character doing it. And so then it's like... It just really was strange how they held that stuff. And then... I can't remember who it was, but they created Angela and
Neil Gaiman.
Medieval Spawn. Yes.
Yeah, Neil Gaiman owns a piece of Angela.
Yeah. They were his characters, but it was Todd's book. So they had a falling out, and Todd refused to reprint that comic for like 20 years. It is not in any of the trades. They seem to have smoothed stuff over now. I don't know whether it was a court decision or whatever, but it's back in the trades. So, like, for the first time in 25 years kind of thing, they're posting that these books are now back in canon. Because he was like, I'm not paying that guy a nickel.
Yeah. And that stuff happens. I mean, you sign a contract and you don't, and friendships, like, evaporate and stuff. And,
yeah.
I mean, it happens. There's nothing you can do about it. And like I said, Rob Liefeld signed the contracts. He took on the wrong people as investors. And apparently this one guy, I'm trying to remember his name, is Andrew Kiev or something like that. I'll have to look it up. But he also screwed over. He also signed a contract with Bill Willingham for the Eternals. Remember the Eternals? Mm-hmm. No, not Eternals. Elementals.
Elementals.
Remember, that was a comic book for a little while. And a couple of other characters. Some different comic companies he was involved with, and then shuttered the doors real bad. And anyways.
So he just kind of jumps on to...
He's a goofball with money who wants to make money and then doesn't know how, and I don't know.
Doesn't know anything about comics, but you know, ends up with rights to characters. He has no idea what he's going to do with them.
So there is a possibility you'll see Youngblood comic books with absolutely zero affiliation to Rob Liefeld coming down the pipe. Maybe, if somebody's a sucker enough to...
I might actually read that.
So yeah, we'll see. I don't know. I read some Youngblood, but for me it was all... It was Wildcats, Spawn... That's it. Wildcats and Spawn were the big books for me from Image that I was reading.
Yeah. Jim Lee, right? Wildcats?
Yeah.
There's something else. It wasn't Shadowhawk. It wasn't Savage Dragon.
No, I read Savage Dragon.
Something else that may have came out later on that I read. But anyways. So, the other thing. I am a bit of a Marvel basher, as you know. It's not that I hate Marvel. I just dislike how every Marvelite thinks they're so much better than DC Comics.
Man, comics are comics.
Exactly. Like, I read Marvels. I read DCs. They're good. They're fine. Yes, there was some history. I really dislike the way Stan Lee kind of on purposely tried to create this division between, you know, you're not cool if you're reading Marvel and stuff like this. And
Stan Lee said, you're not cool if you read Marvel.
Oh, yeah. I used to say it all the time. The distinguished competition.
He you mean DC?
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. He would pee on DC.
Oh, okay.
So I get on Marvel's case at times, like the House of X thing and stuff. And, you know, Spider-Man number 25 from volume 96 was $12.99. And, you know, Walking Dead was... $3.99 for a 72-page massive. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyways, I have to backtrack a little bit because I pulled out the latest DC previews, and I always go, how many Spider-Man books can Marvel produce in 1 month? It's ridiculous. Oh, yeah. Ridiculous. So I'm reading this DC previews, and the word Batman shows up on a lot of pages.
Oh, yeah.
Like a lot of pages.
And a lot of it is the new Black Label stuff.
Yeah.
Like, do they not realize there's more than Batman? Like, that maybe, make an adult Deathstroke comic where he's, like, you know, just hacking people to pieces. Come on now.
Like, even the facsimile edition that month is Batman.
Yeah.
And I get it, because the Joker movie's coming out, too, so there's a lot of Joker stuff. But there's a lot of Batman in here. Like, just a lot of Batman.
I'm interested in that right there.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like a continuation, what if kind of storyline where Azrael, the Avenging Angel, stays Batman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Chris is talking about the Tales of the Dark Multiverse sort of semi sub imprint. And it's just basically going to be retelling stories that were significant in DC continuity. But this is happening in one of the darker multiverses, like the Joker Who Laughs, the Batman Who Laughs is from. So in the one, Lois Lane goes nuts over Superman dying, and she becomes the Eradicator, and she runs around trying to avenge Superman's death. And the one that you're talking about is, of course, is when Bane breaks Batman's back, and was that? No. Did Bane break Batman's back and Azrael took over for him?
Yes.
Or did Batman's back break and,
Bane.
And Dick took over for
Bane,
him?
Bane, like...
Okay, well, who took over? Why did Dick take over for Batman?
Because he died.
Oh, he died.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As opposed to just having his back broken.
But he didn't really die.
No.
It's okay.
He got better.
It's not a spoiler. He got better. Yeah. He took some vitamins.
It's merely a flesh wound. I'm not dead yet.
I read that the Superman Year One.
Yeah. I got a copy of it, but I haven't read it yet.
I don't know why it's under the Black Label.
As somebody said, and I'm trying to remember who, whether it was Frank Miller or Dan DiDio, that if it was published and solicited before this new restructuring that they did, it would not have been a Black Label book.
Okay.
They would have released it as a regular DC sort of special.
Yeah.
So it's not very graphic, it's not very...
No.
But that doesn't mean, like, you don't have to have blood, guts, and gore to be Black Label. It's just supposed to be a little bit more mature than some of the other books, so I don't know.
Well, there was one scene where Lana was going to get raped by three young boys, And Clark steps in.
And they got scared off by Batman's...
Batwang?
Batwang?
No. Superman, Superwang.
Oh, Supes, that's some package.
No, because we're talking young. Like, we're talking still in maybe public school, late public school, early high school. Yeah. So they were young.
Well, that's a bit creepy.
Yeah.
At least high school.
That was the only thing. Maybe it was high school, but they were still early on.
See, that's like 8-year-olds and stuff. That's not right.
No, these kids are pretty bad.
That's not right. Oh, that ain't right.
This book really kind of caught my attention.
Which one's that?
It is A Basket Full of Heads.
Ooh.
It's written by Joe Hill, which, do you guys know who Joe Hill is? Yeah, Stephen King's son.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
but he's been doing both comics.
Oh, he's been doing comics for forever, yeah. But he's doing these, like a run based on Hill House. Do you know the crazy, wacky?
No.
It's a horror show on Netflix.
Oh, okay.
And you should check it out. It's pretty freaky. I like watched it all in like 3 days. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, The Haunting of Hill House.
Okay.
And so these comics are kind of like an extension of that show. And apparently they're going to be making more of the show, but it was just like the picture on the cover of the comic is like a guy in a trench, like a raincoat with an axe and a basket.
In a basket.
Full of heads.
I'm coming to get the heads.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's just an extension of DC's new, like, moving Vertigo to this DC Black Label, right? They're trying to get... Vertigo was amazing. I mean, I used to read almost every Vertigo book that came out.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it just kind of like started fading and fizzling. And so, it'll be interesting to see for sure.
Well, and I think maybe it wasn't so much that they were getting rid of Vertigo to try and like be like, you know, we're getting out of the mature stuff.
But no.
Maybe it was more of like, we need to update our image.
They got rid of Vertigo for two reasons. One is the shine is off the... Like the polish is off.
Yeah.
People are no longer attracted by the Vertigo name.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that's happened is, I can't remember, is AT&T bought Warner Brothers? But apparently somebody ahead of AT&T hates sub-brands.
Oh, okay.
So he's like, no. Like, why you're DC Comics, why is the word DC or initials, why is the initials DC not in every single brand? That's your brand. Stick everything should say DC. You shouldn't have anything else. Like, get rid of everything else. We want DC. So everything's like DC Kids, DC, and DC Black. Simple.
Yeah.
You know, three demographics. Screw the DC Inc. and the DC Spot and Vertigo and all this. Like, no. Just make it simple.
But it was like when Marvel had Max, the Max line. Like, you knew what you were buying when you bought a Max comic. You didn't have to open a single page, but you knew what you were getting.
Yeah, Punisher.
It was going to be, like, uber, like... It was going to be an extreme book, whether it was just like body parts everywhere.
Well, and that's the idea, right? DC Black is going to be, you know, more adult.
I find that it's very tame right now. Like, I don't know whether it's because they went with Batman. Like, aside from the whole Batwing issue, and they were like, oh my goodness, and tamed everything
down. It's fallout from the Batwing. It really is.
I think maybe if they had have picked somebody other than Batman, like, if Batman and Superman were not those guys, if they'd have picked, like
Green Arrow.
Like Green
Everybody
Arrow
wants to use Green Arrow's shaft.
Or Deathstroke or like Lobo or any kind of... Oh, man. I can't even finish it.
But a bump. Let that sink in.
But I think that if they'd have tried going with like a character that wasn't typically a kid's cartoon, that they might have... Mm-hmm. Not had the kind of the backlash that they got from it being Batman.
No, the idea is that Batman is their marquee marketing character. There's more pictures of Batman on t-shirts and on Slurpee cups than any other DC character. Sorry, Superman. It's true. Yeah. Superman's on a lot. Wonder Woman's on a few, but it's Batman.
Yeah.
Spider-Man for Marvel, Batman for DC. So why are you tarnishing the name of this marquee character?
Well, yeah.
Let's focus on your brands. Brand. Yeah. Batman's a brand. Let's not mess with it too much.
No, and they still... Because the characters are vile, so they could have, like, played that on the other one. And I get they were trying to do something edgy to, like, be like, this is our adult line. Like, so I get that that's why they were going that way, but maybe Batman wasn't the primary guy for that. They should have... tried somebody else. I mean, they probably would have even got away with it if it had been one of the Robins, right? Like, if it was, I think it was
everybody just wants to see dicks. Dick. It had to. Yeah, that one had to come out. Richard Grayson. No, he's Rick now, isn't he? Because you're not allowed to talk about dicks.
That's right.
So he's Rick. Rick Grayson.
Is he really?
He was for a little while. Yeah, he got shot in the head, and he got some kind of temporary amnesia, and he went by the name Rick for a little while. I don't know if that's gone back to normal, and he's back to being Dick Grayson or not. Yeah, or,
I don't know.
But, yeah.
I'm reading the one...
so many dick jokes.
It's a Batman Black Label miniseries, and it is wild and crazy, but at the end of it, you see Dick Grayson, and he's like, "No, Batman, it's me, Dick." And it was like, okay.
Oh, is that the one where he's mental?
Yeah. Yeah. Where he gets shot in the street. Yeah. It's freaky, man. Like, it's one page to the next, the whole story can change, and it is just wild.
Is like, that the last goodbye or something?
Yeah.
The last night?
The last night or something.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a 3-issue series, and two
I think
just
I read
came
issue
out.
One. It was pretty good.
Yeah, two just came out, and it is a little on the unusual side. Like, but it's a cool story because it's not a typical Batman story. Like, I mean, he's walking around with Joker's head in a lantern, and it's talking to him, and wants to be Robin.
That's because he's mental. There's some issues there.
What you got there, Martin?
Okay, so. Excuse me. Alpha Flight. One of my absolute favorite Marvel comics ever. John Byrne, drawing, writing, Canadian heroes, patriot, you know, Guardian/Vindicator, big huge Canadian flag. Anyways, I got all excited when Alpha Flight first came out. So, Alpha Flight's coming out with a one-shot.
Yes.
In September?
Yes.
I'm disappointed it's a one-shot. But it's better than nothing, and it's full of Canadian creators. I think Ed Bryson's writing and some other stuff. Like, I just don't know off the top of my head. So I was digging around, and way back in 2005, I found this little company called CGC. And I submitted 10 comic books to CGC, and I was like, ha, I'm an expert grader. I can figure this stuff out. And I actually did submit a Superman 200.
Okay.
A few other books, a Teen Titans number one from 82. I think I even submitted a Neil Adams variant from the New Avengers.
Okay.
Anyways, they all came back. 5.0 on the Superman 200. 8.0 on my on something else. I think it might have been a Conan number one I submitted. And and a couple of them. Oh, it was one of the new Teen Titans. The very first new Teen Titans that had Tim Drake as the Robin as opposed to Dick Grayson. Mm. So that era.
Okay.
That came back as a 9.8. But most of them came back horrible. Mm-hmm. And I was just so distraught that I was just like, ah! And I ripped the cases apart and I pulled them all out except one. I kept my Alpha Flight number one. This is my copy of Alpha Flight number one that I bought on the spinner rack. See, Canadian prices, UPC code, and from the corner convenience store. It's a 9.2 with white pages, and I just didn't take it apart. And I got it reholdered.
Oh,
and it came back. It came back reholdered and stuff with the new, the new case with the old inside well, so you don't get those Newtonian rings. Good.
You should have had them clean and press it for you, and it might have came back at a higher.
Maybe I probably could have. I don't know about cleaning it, but maybe pressing it. I'll have to look up and see what the grading notes are.
Yeah.
If what's wrong with it, but so I was just all excited that this came back, and it just Alpha Flight, Alpha Flight. I can't wait.
Do we know if the special is them back on Earth or still up at the space station?
The cover art shows the original team.
Hmm.
Like, I know Alpha Flight right now is sort of a division of Sword.
Sword, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Sasquatch is in it. Puck is in it. That's about it.
Yeah.
I think Snowbird. But it's mainly Puck and Sasquatch working for Carol Danvers.
Because
they were featured in... Excuse me. Sasquatch was featured in Immortal Hulk, which I just read the first three trade paperbacks of.
So we just talked about Sword here. Is it too early to drop, like, Spider-Man stuff?
No, go nuts.
Okay, so...
Because we got 3 minutes. 2 minutes.
So the second end credits of the new Spider-Man movie...
Yes.
...is a space station with Samuel L. Jackson and Colby Smulders, and it is the SWORD headquarters.
Mm-hmm.
So since you mentioned that Alpha Flight is working for SWORD, I wonder if the reboot might be something they're going to try and tag into for the 6, right?
That would be awesome.
To try and swing a new market.
I would die to see some Alpha Flight movies.
Puck.
Oh my gosh, seriously, like, come on. Except they're going to get this big, huge, ginormous Australian to play Puck.
Yeah.
And he's going to do such a bang-up job that we're not even going to notice. We're not even going to care.
Peter Dinklage would do a pretty good job.
Oh my gosh.
See him bouncing around in a suit.
Logan was awesome. Love that movie. Yeah. Love that movie.
You know, at first when they introduced Hugh Jackman and he was like bigger and not like a hairy beast like the comics, I was like, I don't know. But you know, he kind of grew on me over the years. I kind of liked him as Wolverine. He kind of really fit the character.
Oh man, like the Logan. Watched Logan the other day. I've got the disc that has the black and white version.
Yep.
Oh, so good. It's just so moody and black and white and stuff. It just love that flick. Easily one of my favorite Marvel movies.
I was watching this thing on Facebook and they were talking about ad-lib scenes. And you know the scene at the end of the X-Men origin? No. The X-Men First Class where Wolverine's sitting at the bar and
Xavier
comes in and he drops the F-bomb. That was ad-lib.
Yep, totally ad-lib.
When the two guys turn around...
They're laughing their faces off.
When they turn around to leave, they were resetting to reshoot the scene. So it wasn't...
They were laughing their faces off. You could just see McAvoy just start cracking right up as soon as he turns his head.
And I saw that and I was like...
That was brilliant.
That is hilarious. And it was the first time that the X movies had dropped an F-bomb in any of the X movies. So it was kind of like a Hail Mary pass to Deadpool from there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it was...
Well, folks, that's it for us today for another Friday. As always, catch our show on Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, and what's that other little tiny company? Apple iTunes.
Oh, Apple iTunes.
Or check us out on heykidscomics.ca. Everybody, have a good week and enjoy. We'll see you next time.
You have been listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF-FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like the Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics Radio Show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway?
Level check for Eugene Levy CFFF promo. Take 3.
Testing 1, 2, 3. Good level?
Yep.
Bobby Bittman here. I always listen to Trent Radio 92.7. I love this guy. I really do.
You do one more of those?
Sure. What was wrong with that one?
Nothing. The level was a little high.
Okay. Hi, this is Bobby Bittman. When I'm in the Kawarthas, I listen to Trent Radio 92.7 FM.
FFF. You're listening to
Trent Radio 92.7 FM
in Peterborough, Ontario, Canada.
Trent Radio 92.7 FM in Peterborough, Ontario, Canada.